Hello, and welcome to the Queen's Access Podcast. It's so lovely to have you here, and I hope you find this a useful resource in learning more about life at Oxford, but more specifically about life at the Queen's College. My guests this week are Francis Lawson, a second year studying Spanish and beginner's Russian, Austin Haynes, a second year studying English, and Jessica Wen, a third year materials scientist. The four of us will have a chat about tutorials at Queen's and generally how our academic lives work. My apologies for any poor audio. These interviews have all been conducted over Zoom and the internet connection isn't always completely reliable. For a transcript of this episode, please visit the Queen's website. I hope you enjoy. Hi, everyone. I hope you're doing well and thank you so much for agreeing to be part of this podcast. I'm really excited to record with you guys. To start us off, could you each tell me a little bit about your Queen's journey? So how did you end up in college? Francis, do you want to go first?
Okay. So I come from Hackney in East London. I went to a sort of middling state comprehensive. There was nothing particularly amazing about it, but there was nothing particularly terrible about it. And it was while I was there, my languages teacher in year 11 was the first person to really plant the idea of, oh, have you maybe thought about applying for Oxford or Cambridge when the time comes? I think you stand a decent chance. And I sort of humoured him for a bit, but I didn't really ever think of it as being a really serious possibility until I put it down in the application and went along with the stages, still just thinking it would be a great experience, just the interview process. And then I kept getting further and further and ended up here. So I loved Queen's when I came to visit on the open day, and I thought it was definitely the college that suited me best. And yeah, that's how I ended up here, really.
Oh, fantastic. How about you, Austin?
I'm from Tamaki Makaurau, or Auckland in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I also spend a lot of time living in Melbourne in Australia. So I kind of, maybe a year or so before coming to Oxford, I kind of decided I wanted to study in the UK, just for various reasons about how uni courses are structured in the UK, and also because I have a little bit of family over in the UK. I'm kind of lucky enough to come from a background where my family is able to kind of pay for me to study overseas. I suppose my kind of journey in kind of coming to Queen's was a bit of an arbitrary choice because, you know, Queen's has like a really good music program, which was really attractive to me. It's a really pretty college and the cohort for English students is quite small. So that was all attractive to me. And a few things kind of ended up happening and I ended up ending up at Queen's just because of music and course stuff. Yeah.
Lovely. And Jess, what about you?
So I came from a private school in Southeast London, kind of Kent area. And I was there on a bursary and a scholarship. So that school was very kind of intent on sending people to Oxbridge, so we had a lot of support, which I was really lucky with. So how I ended up at Queen's, so I study material science, and because it's a really small course, only 7 colleges do materials, so that means that I had very little choice to start off with, which is actually quite a good thing because I was kind of less overwhelmed when it came to the open day, and I knew kind of which colleges that I had to go and see. So I had kind of a selection criteria in mind. The biggest one was like accommodation. So I wanted accommodation for all 4 years of my course, just because I didn't want to think about like renting and stuff. So Queen's is one of the colleges that offers 4 years of accommodation. And then I went around the colleges that did offer accommodation for all 4 years, and I just really like Queen's the best, and the library just like took my breath away, so I was like, this is the college for me.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, the library is insane. So this episode is focused on one of the most important aspects of being an Oxford student, which is the tutorials, which is really what makes Oxford quite unique amongst a lot of institutions. So for each of you guys, let's start off by saying, how many tutors did you have? And are your tutorials organized by your college or by your department? So Austin, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so I had 4 tutors in my first year, and it's roughly the same thing across each of my 3 years. Most of my tutes were organized within college, so with tutors from my college who teach other students at Queen's. Every now and then you'll get sent to another college to work with a tutor who's an expert in that subject. For example, like my 19th century literature paper, there wasn't anybody that was like qualified to teach that at Queen's, and so I got to go to Brasenose College, about 5 minutes walk up the high street, to work with a tutor there who was more specialized in that.
Yeah, fab. Francis, how about you?
Yeah, so I do Spanish and Russian, so my degree is slightly split between the two. So in my first year, I had two Spanish tutors and three Russian tutors. Each language tends to be split into the language side of the course and the literature side of the course. So the literature side was organised in college. So my Spanish literature tutorials took place at Queen's, whereas my Spanish language tutorials and oral classes all took place in the modern languages faculty. The Russian ab initio course is almost completely centralized, so all of my tutorials for that took place in the modern languages faculty with the two Russian tutors there. But in the third and fourth years after the year abroad, when you start literature, it's all of the literature is based with the tutor at St. Edmund Hall, which is just across the road, as Queen's and St. Edmund Hall share a Russian tutor.
Okay, fab. And Jess, how about you?
So in first year, I had about 5 or 6 tutors, I believe. So with materials, because again, it's quite small, most of the tutorials are kind of set at a certain time. It's organized within the college, but it generally follows the lecture courses, which is done via the department. So with Queen's, we actually share tutors in materials between Mansfield and, when I was in first year, also Corpus. But then because the year is expanding, I think Corpus pulled out. But we still share tutors with Mansfield, which means that I think there are about 5 tutors in total that you'll get tutorials with. And depending on the specialty of the tutor, you'll have like tutorials with the tutor who like knows the subject the best. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Great. Yeah, so for me, so like Jess, I'm a STEM student, but chemistry is a massive department in comparison to materials. So we have about 170 students every year. So this year I had 4 tutors, and that's because I have the 3 subdisciplines of chemistry, and I also took a maths course in first year. But after this year, I go back down to 3 tutors. My tutorials are organized within college, but maths is departmental for chemistry. So we all get given the same problem sheets, and we all have a 1-hour maths class every week. So my maths tutor tutored at multiple colleges. Yeah, so our maths can be quite set by the department, but generally for chemistry, it's quite college-led in terms of the other tutorials. So what kind of work do you have to do in preparation for each tutorial that you have? So Jess, can you start us off?
Yeah, so I think generally for STEM students, we have problem sheets. So problem sheets are usually just, they're just a list of problems really. It can take anywhere between like 5 to 8 hours for me, depending on how badly I don't understand. but yeah, so for materials, they're set by the lecturer, but then you take them to your tutor, which is usually run by your college.
Francis, how about you?
Yeah, so for the Spanish literature tutorials, they work on an alternating basis week by week. So we take 2 weeks on each, 2 weeks on each text that we study. The first week we would be given like a set of passages or poems to look at and analyze, and we'd be asked to read them beforehand and kind of pick through absolutely everything that we would think was noteworthy in the extract. And then in the other week we would write an essay on a question that is set about that text, and then we would go on to discuss that in the tutorial. So we'd write the essay beforehand and then get it back with feedback in the tutorial. For language, for Spanish, we would normally just get prescribed grammar reading or grammar exercises to finish, and sometimes some translations that we would have to write and then send off to the tutor. And then for Russian, most of the Most of the beginners Russian course in the first year is run based on one particular textbook. So before each lesson, or at the start of each week, we get a set of exercises from the unit that we'll be looking at that week, and we just get told that by each day you have to have done X number of exercises, and then we go through them and correct them in the session.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And Austin, what about you?
Okay, so for English, what happens is kind of each week you'll have a kind of group of texts or that you'll have to study in that week. So the week before, you'll get a kind of assignment sheet from your tutor. It'll say something like, so next week we're going to be talking about maybe Pre-Raphaelite poetry. And so you'll be looking at Christina Rossetti, Dante Rossetti, and William Morris, maybe. So you have the list of writers that you're studying, and then you have, you'll probably get an essay question. So maybe something like, talk about medievalism in Pre-Raphaelite poetry. And then in addition to that, you'll have like a two pages of kind of suggested reading for you to do your research and answer the essay. And so in the week that you have to write your essay, I generally spend about 2 days panicking because I know nothing and I think I'm an idiot and I don't belong at Oxford. which is something that I'm personally working on. But once I've gotten over that, I'll kind of go to the library, I'll spend 2 or 3 days reading as much as I can. And then I'll put together an essay and I'll send that to my tutor the day before. Then on the day of the shoot, you kind of rock up wanting to kind of discuss your essay. So in that time, you've got your essay, you've done your reading and your research, you develop an argument, you put your essay together, and then you go to the tutor prepared to defend your argument.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think it's interesting as well because it's so different from my experience. So I'm similar to Jess in that I am problem sheets based, but the difference for me is, so my math sheets are departmental and they follow the lecture course chronologically, but for organic and inorganic this year, I didn't necessarily always have the tutorials after I'd finished covering the topics in lectures. So in a way, more like a humanities student, I often had to do quite a bit of pre-reading before I'd start my tute sheets, which was always interesting because it made the tutorial sheet perhaps more challenging, but also it was then really, really good because you went into the lectures with a baseline understanding already, and it meant you really understood the lectures in a lot of detail. So that's just based on tutors' preferences and what hours they work and things like that in terms of in what order you'll have tutorials versus lectures. So for example, I had most of my organic tutorials before I'd done the lecture courses. But that's because at the start of first year in chem, what they currently do is they start you off with quite a lot of physics and maths, because that's generally where people have to kind of catch up to close a gap between people who've done different A levels. So you don't actually start a lot of organic chem until later on in the term. But obviously they still want to run the tutorials. They still want you to be getting that understanding. So you often do the tutorials before you've actually covered it in lectures. But yeah, it just works differently based on different tutors' preferences. So we've talked a little bit about it already, but what happens in your standard tutorial? So Francis, can you start us off there?
Okay, so in a Spanish literature tutorial, once we've brought in obviously either the pre-reading that we've done or the essay that we've done and get that back with some feedback, most of the tutorial is directed by a worksheet that we would get given that largely consists of various different quotes from critics about the text that we're studying at that particular week. And essentially we would all take it in turns to go through to look at each quote in particular, look at each quote in depth and really pick it apart, agree with it, challenge it, have a discussion and a debate between us. And sometimes if we've done an essay for that tutorial, sometimes the tutor will lift particular quotes out of your essay and say, Francis, in your essay, you mentioned the such and such. Can you either explain this, justify this, develop this point further, or maybe even challenge it? So that's how it's very discussion based for the Spanish side. And then on the Russian side, we would take a lot of the time, each week is dedicated to focusing on new grammar points and also new areas of vocabulary. So we would spend a lot of time doing grammar exercises and doing vocab building exercises to put into practice the rules that we sort of get to grips with on our own over the weekend, and then we spend the whole week just putting them into practice. And we dedicate a lot of time as well to oral practice, so we do a lot of reading poems or even sometimes doing role play exercises just to start getting comfortable with speaking in Russian and practicing spontaneity, because the oral exam is one of the exams that you take at the end of the first year. So that's a skill that they really focus on building.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really good. I think I like the fact that the difference between the two, I think that's really interesting to highlight, is the fact that you take a language that you're very familiar with and a language as a beginner. And I think that's that's a really interesting contrast. Austin, how about you?
Yeah, so a standard tutorial for me as an English student is generally each tutorial I will have written an essay beforehand and kind of done my research and become like an expert in the topic in the time I've had. And I'm usually doing a tut with one or two other students who've done the same essay. So you get to the tut, you kind of basically chat about your essay with the tutor and the other students there, and you kind of ask questions and the tutor will ask you questions to kind of push your knowledge and kind of test how your kind of arguments will work under pressure, which is usually a kind of really interesting opportunity to kind of test out your ideas with somebody who's an expert in their field. And also to kind of, you know, compare your ideas with those of students around you who you've kind of gotten to work with over the last few months. Other things you might do, you might kind of discuss a lecture that the tutor knows you've seen, or you might kind of discuss some articles that you've been given beforehand. Yeah, so a tut is really kind of an opportunity as an English student to take your ideas further, to kind of get them an extra stage of refining from the essay that you've already written.
Yeah, I get you. And Jess, what about you?
So having handed in the work like a couple of days before the tut, usually the tutor then gives the work back marked to us in the tutorial. So there's usually two or three people per tut, plus the tutor. And then we'd go through the questions that we didn't really understand or didn't get right. And so it depends, the style depends on the tutor. So some tutors would prefer to go through the questions themselves. Some tutors would ask people who understood the question to then go up and show everyone else how to do it. But most of the time it's just discussion based. So like they'd try and prod us to apply the knowledge that we've learnt in lectures to try and get to grips with the questions that we were given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, in my standard tutorial, there's usually two or three of us. But then for maths classes, for me, it's all of us. And even then, I say that there's five of us in my year. So it's not like there's loads and loads of people. But yeah, so our class sizes vary depending on what the tutorial is about. And yeah, similar to Jess, most of the time we just go through the problem sheet, sometimes with students explaining and sometimes with the tutor explaining. And then also what my tutors will often do is they'll bring either extra resources or extra questions, or they'll try and contextualize some of the work we've done in current research. So sometimes my tutors might say, actually, you know, here's a current research topic that's still being debated that vaguely relates to this. What's your opinion on that? And it's not an exam, it's just a way to kind of really broaden the depth of your understanding, and that can be really, really helpful. So for each of you, what does a week look like in your life at Oxford? So Jess, can you start us off?
So I guess Monday to Friday, it's kind of like standard, like quite a lot of lectures and contact hours, including labs and tutes. So in the mornings, I generally have lectures from 9 till about 12 or 1, usually 2 to 3 hours of lectures. And if we're lucky, we get like an hour's break in between. And then I would head back to college for lunch and just have lunch with my friends, which is quite a nice, it's one of the highlights of my day. And then in the afternoon, I would usually go and work in the library. I might have maybe 1 hour of a tut, or if it's labs, then it would be 3 hours from 2 till 5. And then in the evening, I'd usually have some kind of activity on. So it might be badminton, or I play in an orchestra, or table tennis training, or just chilling with my friends. And then on the weekends, I would usually have like maybe football or table tennis or just like just generally working in between the times when I'm doing other things.
Mm-hmm. Austin, how about you?
Okay, so like my kind of standard week from standard day from Monday to Friday, I suppose kind of English students will have lectures usually scheduled in the morning or around midday. So you kind of get up, decide whether you're going to get to the 9 a.m. shoot, get to the 9 a.m. lecture or to the 10 a.m. lecture, depending on how tired you are. then once you've done your lectures at the English faculty, you know, I walk back to college, have lunch with my friends, which is usually also really, really nice. Which I think a lot of people really enjoy that. And then in the afternoons, maybe 2 days of the week I'll have a shoot, and then I might have like one or two classes, depending on what day it is. The rest of that time is usually filled up with kind of being at the library, doing research and reading, or writing an essay and putting that together. In the evenings, I try to do some extracurricular stuff, so I'm not kind of stuck in a book the whole time. So I try to do a lot of music or kind of learning to cook really badly at the moment. The weekends, it kind of depends if I'm working on weekends. Sometimes you'll have a really lovely free weekend, and so you get to kind of rest and see friends. One of the kind of realities of Oxford is, you know, you're often spending, at least during the day, on the weekend doing some work, but I'm kind of okay with that because I really enjoy English and it's just reading. Other things, kind of, Oxford's really nice because everything's really, really close, so you can manage to fit in lots of small activities if you want to. So the days are quite variable, but, you know, a lot of reading and then it's shoot 2 or 3 times a week.
Nice. And Francis, how about you?
Yeah, my days are slightly, aren't very typical of each other because no 2 days are really the same in the week of a modern languages student. But sort of in terms of weekly organisation, so for Spanish, I have one 90-minute literature tutorial every week. In my first year, that was on a Friday afternoon. On top of that, there are 3 language classes for Spanish a week, one grammar, one oral, and then one that is either dedicated to oral or translation, depending on what week it is. And then there are also 3 lectures during the week that are to do with the text or the literature that we're studying that particular term. In terms of Russian, we have 8 Russian classes every week. And within these 8 classes, we have 3 weekly tests. So we have a vocabulary test every Friday, we get a rather long list of new words to learn for the next week that sort of ranges anywhere between about 60 and 200. And then on a Wednesday, we get tested on some of those. Thursday, we do a dictation, which is largely to test our listening skills and also our ability to recognize new words in spoken Russian. And then on Friday, we do a unit test, which is kind of an assessment of all of the work we've been doing that particular week. My timetable, unfortunately, means that I have to have lunch out quite a lot. I very rarely make it back to college for actual lunch, which is a shame, but it does mean I spend a lot more of my lunch break with the people from other colleges who are also doing beginners Russian, which is very good because we go abroad together in the second year, so it's good to get to know them. In the evenings, I also do a mixture of sort of casual socializing with my friends, or would do extracurricular activities. So I've been to a few events organized by societies that interest me, like the International Relations Society, or this is going to make me very unpopular, but I have done a few things with the Liberal Democrats in my first year. Weekends do vary depending on the amount of work, but I often quite like to just escape Oxford for the weekend and I quite like to go home. A lot of my family most of my family live near Hull in East Yorkshire, so I often really like to go back there for the weekend. It's relatively cheap to book tickets there and I think it's a really nice opportunity to just get away from the pressure cooker for a second and see a lot of my family again.
Yeah, lovely. So for me, chemistry is a very contact hours heavy degree. You'll find that at most universities because of the lab requirements. So I have, this year I had 10 lectures a week, so 9 till 11 every day. I then had labs 11 till 5, 2 days a week. I had a maths class every Wednesday, and then I would have probably 1 to 2 tutorials outside of that. There was a couple of weeks where I had like 4 tutorials a week and they were a bit insane. But yeah, so I have a very, very structured day. I get up at the same time every day. I'm not somebody who's super productive in the evenings, so I generally make it a rule that unless I have a very impending deadline, I don't work past dinner. Like the others, I tend to just socialize with my friends in the evening. I also do quite a lot of access things. I volunteer. I went to a primary school to help young children learn how to read every Tuesday last year. I'm involved in some music things, and just generally I go to some events that are put on by my scholarship. It's just generally, it's quite a balance, but of course I do sometimes, I have my fun. We go out sometimes, our group, and go and have a laugh at the weekend in a club or in a bar. And I found that having a work-life balance was significantly easier than I thought it would be. I found I had a lot more time to socialize than I maybe thought before I got to Oxford. So Austin, can I just ask, as an international student, how did you find settling into to Queen's and to Oxford in general?
I mean, it's a lot of fun and it's a really exciting time, being an international student in Oxford. I suppose when I first moved, especially for like the first 3 or 4 months, it was really difficult being far away from my family because like the time difference is 9 or 10 hours. Which means kind of I'm either really, really tired in the morning when I'm talking to my family, or my family's really, really tired in the morning when they're talking to me. That's, little things that kind of annoy you every now and then. One really lovely thing is that this is now like something that will probably be a lot easier now that, the whole world has had to adjust to things like Zoom or kind of like using FaceTime like regularly because of COVID. So I'm really looking forward to that, being able to use that to keep in touch with my friends back home when I'm back in the UK. I think really, really broadly, I found it really exciting kind of learning and living in like a new country and kind of getting to know a new culture. Because the stereotype for me as somebody from like Australia and Aotearoa and New Zealand is like, English people are really, really cold and not emotionally available. it's been really lovely learning that that's fake once you know people for more than a week. It's so much fun.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. And then just to close, I'd just like to ask each of you, what's your favourite thing about college and why? So Jess, can you start us off?
Oh, I think, everyone always says this, but like the people that you meet. So This is going to be true really no matter which college you go to. But the nice thing about having a collegiate system is that you get to meet people studying all kinds of different subjects. So like amongst my friends, there are loads of people who do like humanities as well as STEM and arts. It's a real mix and everyone's so lovely.
Oh, that's really, really nice. Austin, what about you?
Yeah, I suppose this is pretty similar to what Jess was saying, but like, meeting new people and living near new people who are kind of fascinated and passionate about what they're studying and kind of being able to chat to them about what interests them and their ideas is kind of, one of the things that I find most enjoyable about being at Oxford. Yeah,
definitely. I don't think many people often mention that, but yeah, being around people who are so intensely passionate about things that are so different from perhaps what you're passionate about, and it is such a learning opportunity that, yeah, I think is quite underrated. And Francis, what about you?
Yeah, I would echo what both Jess and Austin said, but I think another thing that I really like, and it's a slightly strange one, is the location of the college. It's just, for me particularly, it's so refreshing because normally when I want to sort of go shopping or go out and socialise, I either have to get a long train into central London if I'm in London, or a long train into Hull when I'm up in Yorkshire. So it's really nice for me to just be in the centre of the city and just have about a 5-minute walk to almost everything. It's a really nice, refreshing change. And I think it's a great part of being at Queen's that I think a lot of people maybe take for granted, but I think it needs spelling out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Fantastic. Well, thank you guys so, so much. That was super interesting. And I'm sure everybody who listened learned absolutely loads. You guys have been fantastic guests and I'll speak to you all soon.
Thank you so much to Jess, Francis and Austin for that insightful conversation, and a massive thank you to all of you who listened. There are loads more Access resources on the Queen's College website at www.queens.ox.ac.uk/access-outreach, and you can find out more about the college in general through its website, Twitter and Instagram, including on the Access Twitter @Queen's Outreach. That's all from me. Have a lovely week and hopefully I'll see you again soon.